Translation of Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj, who put on his head the water washed from the lotus feet of the Lord, did not think of anything besides his promise, in spite of being forbidden by his spiritual master. The king dedicated his own personal body to fulfill the measurement of the Lord's third step. For such personality, even the kingdom of God, for such personality, even the kingdom of heaven, which he conquered by his strength, was of no value. Just before purport, it's interesting thing yesterday I wanted to rise, but there was no time. The demigods lost entire kingdom, not due to their own offense, but due to offense of Indra only. So they got reactions. This interesting thing there that we know that king takes 60% of pious or sinful activities of his citizens. But in this pastime, we see opposite, that actually all citizens shared sinful actions, reactions of one person, Indra. So I don't know how that fits exactly. That really, denizens suffer also sinful reactions of leader itself. If it's that so, we don't have a chance, because although anyway, in this Kali Yuga, denizens or leaders equally engage in sinful activities. That's interesting. So, and we are only a handful of people who try not to be sinful. Very small amount. But as Krishna was on the side of Pandavas, handful of Pandavas with few actual kinis, they were victories. Whereas Krishna present and Arjuna, victories guaranteed. And then, just to be a member of the society doesn't mean Krishna is on our side. So, like Krishna says, you can read in Garden of George Harrison, I'm interested in pure in the heart. So level of purity or level of surrender will make our victory guaranteed. And here is example in this pastime of unprecedented, unique example of one who surrender everything. So it's like, I think it's about 4 or 5 chapters dedicated to this pastime. And indeed, he became even Mahajan due to that. Okay, like purport now. Bali Maharaj, by gaining the transcendental favor of the Lord in exchange for his great material sacrifice, was able to have a place in Vaikuntha with equal or greater facilities for eternal enjoyment. Therefore, he was not at all loser by sacrificing the kingdom of heaven, which he had possessed by his material strength. In other words, when the Lord snatches away one's hard-earned material possessions and favors one with his personal transcendental service for eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, such taking away by the Lord should be considered a special favor upon such pure devotee. Material possessions, however alluring they may be, cannot be permanent possessions. Therefore, one has to voluntarily give up such possessions, or one has to leave such possessions at time of quitting this material body. The sane man knows that all material possessions are temporary and that the best use of such possessions is to engage them in the service of the Lord, so that the Lord may be pleased with him and award him the permanent place in his paramdham. The few sane persons really on the planet. Anyway. In Bhagavad Gita, the paramdhamma of the Lord is described as follows. Nirmana moha jitta sanga dosha dhyatma nitya vinivrita kama dvandair vimukta sukha dukha samgyair gacchantiyam yudak padam manyayam tat. Natad basyate suro na shashanko na pavakaha yadgatvana nivartante tadama paramamama. One who possesses more in this material world in the shape of houses, land, children, society, friendship, and wealth, possesses these things only for the time being. One cannot possess all this illusory paraphernalia created by Maya permanently. Such a possessor is more illusioned in the matter of self-realization. Therefore, one should possess less or nothing, so that one may be free from artificial prestige. We are contaminated in this material world by association with the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the more one spiritually advances by devotional service to the Lord in exchange for his temporary possessions, the more one is free from the attachment to material illusion. To achieve this stage of life, one must be firmly convinced about spiritual existence and its permanent effects. To know exactly the permanency of spiritual existence, one must voluntarily practice possessing less or only the minimum to maintain one's material existence without difficulty. One should not create artificial needs. That will help one to be satisfied with the minimum. Artificial needs of life are activities of the senses. That's interesting. All artificial needs of us, material life, the activities of the senses. The modern advancement of civilization is based on these activities of the senses, or in other words, it is civilization of sense gratification. Perfect civilization is the civilization of Atma, or the soul proper. The civilized man of sense gratification is only on equal level with animals, because animals cannot go beyond the activities of the senses. Above the senses is the mind. The civilization of mental speculation is also not the perfect stage of life, because above the mind is intelligence. And in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita gives us information of the intellectual civilization. The Vedic literature gives different directions for the human civilization, including the civilization of the senses, of the mind, of the intelligence, and the soul proper. The Bhagavad Gita primarily deals with the intelligence of man, leading one to the progressive path of civilization of the spirit soul. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the complete human civilization dealing with the subject matter of the soul proper. That means Bhagavad Gita gives you intelligence, basic intelligence about the soul and about the body, about the mind. And Srimad Bhagavatam engages that very soul. As soon as man is raised to the status of the civilization of the soul, he is fit to be promoted to the kingdom of God, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as per above verses. The primary information of the kingdom of God informs us that there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity, which are all necessary in this material world of darkness. And the secondary information of the kingdom of God explains that anyone able to reach that kingdom by adoption of the civilization of the soul proper, or, in other words, by the method of bhakti yoga, attains the highest perfection of life. One is then situated in the permanent existence of the soul, with full knowledge of transcendental loving service of the Lord. Bali Maharaj accepted this civilization of the soul in exchange for his great material possessions, and thus became fit for promotion to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which he achieved by dint of his material power, was considered most insignificant in comparison with the kingdom of God. Those who have attained the comforts of material civilization made for sense gratification should try to attain the kingdom of God by following in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj, who exchanged his acquired material strength, adopting the process of bhakti yoga, as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and further explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very long purport with many significant points. Okay, once more the verse. Bali Maharaj, who was, who put on his head water washed from the lotus feet of the Lord did not think of anything besides his promise, in spite of being forbidden by his spiritual master. The king dedicated his own personal body to fulfill the measurement of the Lord's third step. For such personality, even the kingdom of heaven, which he conquered by his strength, was no value. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda, Om Ajñānatim Randasya, Jñāna Janāśalakaya, Chakshun Tamena, Tasmai Śrī Gurave Namaha. Bear me just a second. So many points in the verse, but mainly they speak about more or less one thing, is of sacrificing material assets for the sake of greatest benefit. And as Prabhupada mentions here, by this sacrifice, one is never a loser. Never. So, as I mentioned, Bali Maharaj became Mahajan for this great sacrifice. So, what is sacrifice present on out of those nine processes of surrendering, which is exemplified by Bali Maharaj? Yeah. Anyone else? Atmanivedana means full surrender, everything, even his own life. So, interested in Krishna, Lord is interested in one who does this voluntarily, who surrender. Krishna is very interested in that. We see many examples from Shastras. We're very interested that we are renounced for the higher says. Why? Because this gives him a chance to bring that jiva very quickly back. That's the reason. It's not like he's kind of, you know, want to snatch everything away from us to make us poverty stricken, suffer. This may be seemingly included also, sometime. He's not interested in being somebody poor, poverty stricken, but if somebody surrenders very quickly and this very thing boosts his surrender, and the Lord is very happy because he knows that's for ultimate good of that jiva. So, and then our suffering actually by this very small pinch the Lord gives is far less, far shorter in this material world. And then yesterday we touched briefly about this surrendering process. That surrendering process is like literally like dying. Very key, you know. It's material death. We have to come to that understanding, which, so that, you know, perhaps we'll surrender if it's nothing else to do, really. Like we mentioned, example of Draupadi is so typical that I was wondering why she just waited until last moment fully to surrender, even she. So it means it's so difficult. We hold him for everything else. I just kind of presume that she was hoping that some brave man will stand up and protect her, but he didn't. And then her own strength, and then that's it. And Krishna really waiting. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to help if you try to do it on yourself or something. He just waits until you call him. Just interesting thing, like, so what we can say anyway. So, if it's nothing else, then we surrender. See, and why is that? Due to one thing, as he says, fear. What is fear? What is the fear? Fear is bodily concept of life. Yeah, that's a fear, like Prabhupada mentioned several times. Fear means bodily concept of life. And what we fear to lose, at first place, like, what is our fear to lose in surrendering process? Any brief kind of, there are many things, but what is most difficult to surrender? Yeah, material possessions. Yeah, very dull. Yeah, yeah, you can say also, Jason. Oh, yeah, definitely. Mobile phone in this Kali Yuga, we are so hooked. But as Maharaj Keshava mentioned, is say again what you said. Control, it means independence. I just put in that, you know, our independence. Vaishnava Acharyas mentioned actually that we may surrender everything, even material possessions, even mobile phone, even everything, but this very thing, independence, that's very difficult to surrender to somebody. So, or let's say, on decided to surrender fully, I surrender. Like, yes, like especially at the beginning, a new devotee comes and I surrender fully, yes, fully. And then what? You jump in the air like without parachute from the airplane or something. I'm yours. So then again, on his guidance, in a way, how to surrender? See, surrender to somebody who to lead us to that surrender process. Again comes guru, and we come again around the same problem. Problem of independence. It's very hard to surrender that very thing. So, and then now, why we fear to surrender to guru? Well, like, you know, psychologically, in all of us, we initiated or not, there is some kind of distance within us, which kind of we don't surrender. Although we may be in bliss, be around the guru, serving guru. But there is some small portion of kind of like a distance. Do you have this feeling? Do you have kind of this realization that it's something there, some distance still, you know, not be able fully. He may ask you, you know, something which maybe you not be able to do or something, the kind of feel, although he would not ask you probably, but there's something there. There's a fear again. So this fear factor of surrendering is I just consider as a major factor in surrendering. Fear of what I'm going to lose. What I mean, like movie Matrix. Remember that first part. This fear, like just fear. If you believe you can fly, you can jump 50 feet, you can do it. Just exemplified by that movie. This kind of fear which holds us, which sabotages our progress. So that's only just one example. And therefore, our surrender is in stages, in long stages. That's how it is. Like, we have these six processes I'll briefly mention on the end. The other day, I think Vrindavan Chandra mentions them just up to Sharanagati. Therefore, Lord makes so many arrangements for us to surrender in the stages, one by one, to bring us back. Like the other day, Taruna Krishna Prabhu mentioned Gopakumar. Then when he came back to the spiritual world there, the Krishna was in bliss. He fainted out of ecstasy. And he told him, I arranged so many things for you. I become even your guru to guide you. So many other arrangements. So when we come back to spiritual world, hopefully one day, it'll be the same. And Lord, but where are you so long? I've made so many arrangements for you. I pinch out these things from you you're attached to. You know, I separated you from this society, from this friend, from so many things which we felt pain. These are small arrangements of the Supreme. So Krishna sees a different picture than us, as he said. Yeah. So in the stage of surrendering and this pinch in the heart, that's a very important factor which we have to understand. You know, pinch is one of them. And sometimes induced by sadhus. So, as I mentioned sometime earlier, when sadhu comes to your door, don't see him as a kind of beggar who comes to beg something for his own maintenance or some his own needs or whatever, to take your earnings. Like a professional beggar or something, but he comes away to take your burden away, to take attachment, to engage you in service and bring you closer to Krishna. That's the purpose. If you see the sadhu in front of your door knocking, you have to understand that he came to take your attachments away. So, to evoke mercy of Krishna. Because when you cooperate with such a sadhu, oh, Krishna is so pleased. So much mercy comes. And then eventually your life becomes easier. So this pinch, like Bari Maharaj. So in your mind, soon as one sees sadhu, in your mind, this will be this picture. He came away to take my attachments away, bring me closer to Krishna. That's the idea of collecting or whatever, you know. And when our heart is pinched, but that means purification. When your anarthas are pulled out, of course it's a pain. It's welcome. This pain is welcome. Without this pain, let's say you do charity, there is no this pain, there is no pinch in the heart. Then there's not much purification. It's just kind of mere piety. You just give. But this pinch, that's when anarthas are pulled out. So that's it. And we have to be used to that pinch in the heart, whatever we do. So, knowing that my anarthas have been pulled out, if it's properly done in proper direction. God has said in the purport that when you get attached to the Lord, material attachments are broken. So, sadhu tries to attach you to the Lord when he comes to your home, not to just take your possessions. That's the thing. Try to attach you to the Lord. And then you have to have knowledge where to place your charity. See? So that you know you are doing right thing. And this brings us, obviously, to Bhagavad Gita, which tells us what is actually proper charity for person. Say, intelligent charity is of highest benefit. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended in the scriptures, but charity in the mode of passion and ignorance is not recommended because it is simply a waste of money. Give us some example of this charity in mode of ignorance and passion. Jason?
Giving to a homeless person on the street randomly.
Randomly, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is kind of thing which they will definitely, but this kind of thing although it's condemned if you don't by people, you know. Any other small, like in ignorance or in passion. Yeah?
Disrespect,
yeah. To be honest, I've never seen this. With disrespect, unless he's like beggar, he's so aggressive or something, and you just to get rid of him, you just give him. In that sense, yeah. Yeah, Roman? Yeah. Some people have lots of money, so make their name. They pay charity and then order to you know, make themselves very charitable person. David? Humanitarian issues, yeah, different things. There's millions of stuff. Anyway, charity should be given only to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is something which somebody may not like to hear if he's not in the Krishna consciousness. That is charity in the mood of goodness, I think. That's charity in the goodness, to propagate God consciousness all over the world. And anyway, Gita says, that gift which is given out of duty, that's a verse which tells exactly what is charity in mode of goodness. That gift which is given out of duty, what means that? That means we don't listen to the mind. You have knowledge, you know it's your duty, you know it's proper, and then you place the charity. You don't listen to the mind, or in other words, you don't listen Shukracharya in your mind. Which is the same case with Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj knew what to do, but Shukracharya came you can say represent our mind also. Listen. You know, as soon as you engage that dialogue, your decision will be diluted. So that gift which is given out of charity at the proper time, at the proper place, to a worthy person, and without expectation in return, is considered to be charity in the mood of goodness. And in Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, one should give charity to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, for thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be worshipped. So that's a charity to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas for propagation of the God consciousness. And then you, by this, you worship Supreme. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Manjari Gaurantai. She said, therefore, charity is recommended to be given at the place of pilgrimage and at lunar and solar eclipses, or at the end of the month, or to a qualified Brahmana and Vaishnava devotee, or in the temples. It is interesting. Prabhupada said, you give charity at the end of the month, solar lunar eclipses, all to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, or in the temples, is equally. Charity to the poor is sometimes given out of compassion, but is a poor. But if poor man is not worth of giving charity, then there is no spiritual advancement, Prabhupada said. That means indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. We already mentioned this briefly, indiscriminately. So pinch after pinch, we go back home, back to Godhead. That's the thing. So when you see sadhu, you know, here there are sadhus to promote my elevation. But just one thing here again. Every ashram should be charitable in that sense. Not just for the highest cause, not just grihasthas. Although, like, Vedically, grihasthas are those who maintain three other ashramas. But in our society, even brahmacharis, something which I have most of the time, habit is every brahmachari has some donations, some gifts here and there, all of us. So, like, when you travel in some other temple, when you take darshan or the deities, place something there. I always do this. I don't get much, I don't have much, but this pinch is very good. Place few coins, see. So this kind of something which is like personal between you and Krishna is very nice to do. Like, for example, if you travel, you have no problem to stop on services, buy some water, juice, crisps, chocolate, and then in front of the Lord, you don't give anything. So this always should be like, wherever you go, put some few coins. This kind of very personal. So this pinch, so that's important. Or even if you are employed in temple, even then, it's very nice. Krishna, you gave me this, I'm giving back something. Like worshipping Ganges. That's a very personal. Krishna is very pleased with that. Or you do service, it doesn't matter. You know, every now and then, put something back in terms of this. So this pinch, if you feel pinch, is very good. It's welcomed. Yeah. So the kind of thing which, in terms of charity, all of us can be charitable in that sense. To giving up something from which we will use for ourselves otherwise, place a little bit there. So that's a way to unglue from samsara. Even if it rips your heart apart, the benefit is tremendous, tremendous from that. See? Like Krishna says, through all Gita, in all circumstances, depend on me. So that's kind of what we're supposed to learn, and which this pastime, which is given so many chapters about Bali Maharaj, says, to depend on Krishna in every circumstances. Finally, you have to do it. You have to do it. And then there's a big bliss out of it. If you just think of surrendering fully, at least the idea of it is very blissful. You know, very blissful. I remember this years ago, this movie. What's the name? Tukaram. Sesh Tukaram. It's a beautiful movie. It's very old. I don't know when it's made, in 50s or something. With his worshipable deity, Pandurang, And his beautiful song, so devotional. So he gave everything. He had family. He was family man. He was just giving out everything. Totally immersed in ecstasy of devotional service. So something is very blissful, this surrendering process. And Krishna will take care. See. Prabhupada said in verse, possessing less or only the minimum to maintain one's material existence without difficulty. This is what you have to aspire for. Bare minimum to possess. Like here, for example, in this temple. We are in the ashram. Everything comes. I don't pay for anything, you know. But we have to understand that in the back of my mind, I always think, this will not last forever. You have to be ready for that. When you have practice renouncement, overnight things can change. You see how the world is heading towards hellish condition. Overnight, everything can be closed. You may lose even temple. You may lose freedom even. Everything. No, you're not even having meal every day. This can happen. Then we can go again, have only karatals and go on the street, which is great. So you may expect that. I feel in my lifetimes I may definitely experience, but this will happen. This world is crazy. So you may lose everything. So this acceptance of surrender, we have to practice now. In that challenging moment, we will be tested how much actually we are surrendered in this. And it will happen. Only Krishna arranges. We see it through the scriptures constantly. He arranges. He doesn't want to let it go. Okay, then he snatches away. The Lord Hari. So that's a kind of thing which I meditate always in back of the mind. I may lose. So, and then out of appreciation, do something, contribute to community. This is what I do. Something, do something. Because, you know, for community. And those who give also to support community, to run this temple cost a lot. A lot. So those who support community, support the temple running, support preaching activities, support... It's an immense, immense, immense benefit they will get. Krishna is so pleased with this. So, when sadhu comes, think of that. Another thing, like, you know, Maharaj Bali gave up everything completely. His own life completely. Remember, maybe mention this. During the war, I had such a realizations of all this madness that how is so insignificant. I mean, not insignificant, but there is no substance in trying to accumulate anything in this life, really. Like, you know, I remember my house was destroyed, and when I somehow managed to bring my parents back, I helped my father to repair the house. You know, for the decent living. And then I was just thinking, my goodness, I don't want to have my home, I don't want to have my family, I don't want to create any name, anything of this world, nothing, absolutely nothing. Really, like so strong the realization, it's not worthy, really. I remember once we were in some mountain region, a small town there. Town was totally vacant, was no any civilians there. We came there as a guerrilla, it was about 40 of us. Town was already vacant, was nothing there. And then most of them were intoxicated already, soldiers. In that time I was already sober. I gave up that. But just observing this, like you know, so much invested into that was destroyed, many houses were burned. You know, in the fire. I remember I came to one warehouse, like a furniture shop, and entering was still some furniture there, and you know, and there was lots of like foodstuffs spilled on the floor. I guess from previous soldiers they were keeping there like a food storage, And then I heard some noise. I turned around. It was a cow inside of the furniture shop. It was just funny. It was some farms nearby there. It was cow minching all these grains, sitting there. It was a sofa there. She was not sitting on a sofa, maybe, because she's not intelligent. You know? The cow just minching. Later, of course, somebody killed her. Anyway. But, and then I remember there was one guy. He entered into a kind of pub. He found some axe. It was inside. It was just smashing everything with the axe. Smashing the entire pub, like, you know, screaming. I was just thinking, what an idiot, you know, like, what an idiot came out with the axe. Like, destroying, vandalizing. Although it's destroyed pretty much. But there's such a kind of scenes to make you realize how is unworthy everything. You know, like, no anymore. And unfortunately, this kind of attitude spilled into my devotional life also. I'm not interested to learn much, to put much endeavor in anything, to be simply nobody. This kind of, you understand, simply disappeared in that sense from the scene. It's, psychologically, it's very imprinted in my mind also. And some realizations which I have something to do with. Anyway. So, another thing is like, let this world go to hell if you want. Even that, I don't want to put any impact to do anything about. Whoever wants, they can do anything. It is another kind of blockage from this realizations during the war. It's not worthy anything anyway. Anyway, sorry for that. So all what we can do is just not create artificial needs. That's all. You know, you need some job to maintain your body, or if you don't have job, again, money comes from somebody else. So each person living on the expense of somebody else, is nothing comes from blue sky. So that's the thing. So in our society, even if you want to renounce, then somebody has to pay for you again. You know, the entire society is geared to employ you, to exploit you. So therefore, they see us as a parasites, lazy fellows, whoever wants generally to renounce. So even in India, notice, like, now even sadhus can starve in India, you know, although people are still pious. But one thing, very interesting thing, when you see those sadhus who took renounce order of life, sometimes they queuing in front of the temple gate and they're screaming at you, give, 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 give. I was just thinking, if you are not ready, really, to depend completely on the Supreme, you don't take this stage of life. You know, you just don't take it. Therefore, more or less, I never give. You know, maybe I should. Because, you know, even Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati would give charity, because this will make you hard-hearted if you don't give. But this kind of thing puts you off, like, you know, if you're not ready to completely, exclusively depend on Supreme, don't take renounce order of life or sannyas. Also your experience. So I don't want to fly in economy class or where is my room, where is my prasad? You know, some of us have experience of that. So if you are not ready to totally depend on Supreme, then forget about this. It's hard to find genuine sannyasi even in Kali Yuga, see. Therefore, you know, my idea is always, my wish that this, like, idea of zonal acharyas in past, which is very good idea itself, that, you know, too much traveling also, so much resources is gone. If sannyasi would be locally situated and inspired local grihastas to invest in project locally, we will achieve so much more, so much more. Of course, it was misused, but if you see the past in this time of Jonal Acharya how much properties we have acquired. We will never be able to acquire such a properties nowadays anymore. Throughout the Europe and then all over the planet. It's amazing properties, which is now is difficult to maintain. So when local people invest in local preaching, you know, like which is inspired by person, by leader who earns the respect, who doesn't demand respect. That's the greatest preaching. Anyway, this is Magana's side point. Again, to put this entire pastime in our context is what Bali Maharaj represents, what this means for us as an extreme surrender process. Who is our guru in the present state? Conditioned state. Mind is our guru. So we represent Shukracharya. And the determination, intelligence represent Bali Maharaj, who knows what is right. So we have to strengthen our intelligence and what is our intelligence? What is intelligence of Vaishnava? What is our intelligence? Yeah, these three things, sadhu, shastra, guru, that's our intelligence. Intelligence means I don't let my mind sway me away. As soon as you engage in the dialogue with the mind, then you're going to lose out, definitely. Because we know what's a proper. So, means acting, not engaging in dialogue with the mind or debate. That for this, you need strong determination. Follow the vows. If breaking, I'm not intelligent. That's very simple. So you have to have a knowledge of outcome of following or not following, both. So that's coming from Sadhu Shastra Guru. And there was six divisions of surrender, the other we mentioned. Six divisions of surrenders are the acceptance of those things favorable for devotional service, and then rejection of unfavorable things, and conviction that Krishna will give protection. The acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, and on the end, this full self-surrender, which Bali Maharaj gave fully. So in the sages, we have to know this and try to practice. Like I never met unsincere devotees, really. Like it's always, maybe one is loose in one side, but another side is strong. So he tried, like, I met devotees who were struggling with japa. He said, I'm doing more kirtan. Hopefully this will help me to break through. Or anything else, do more service, you know. So that's it. I'll finish here. If somebody has to add something, I don't know what else to extract from this verse. Hare Krishna. I don't know. Speak loud and then. Yeah. Oh, show me which one. There's a mic.
Okay. Is it good to try to be happy without serving the Supreme Lord? Interesting comment he gives. Trying to become happy is a non-devotional endeavor. Even if one gives up the service of the Lord, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and remains busy pursuing his own happiness and prosperity by demanding service from others, he cannot find it. Rather, such a person becomes an object of negligence and criticism. On the other hand, if someone disregards the pursuit of his own happiness and prosperity and remains always engaged in service of Guru and Krishna with body, mind and words, then what to speak of millions of people coming forward to serve him, Mahaprabhu himself will come to offer him service.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Gauranga.